What's an unconventional animal that like you really want to have as a pet? Hey, yo, welcome back to the High Kicks Podcast, everybody. We do not have a chattiest this week. He's tired.
Like, bigger that's guns.
He's just tired. Carl.
Bigger guns.
Before bigger I get guns. Into my obvious answer to this question, I want to know your answer. You're thinking way too hard about this.
I would want a honey badger. I think it would be really cool to walk around with that thing like leashed up. And like, if you train a honey badger, bro, like an guard honey badger, real life, like I don't know. Like I've heard people have like alpacas, like crazy shit like that. I'm gonna train a honey badger and or a Komodo dragon.
I want a mantis shrimp so badly.
You are a mantis shrimp.
I want we already established last week that I'm a manatee, but I want a mantis shrimp so badly. Like punching harder than a 22 caliber bullet, seeing 9 more color wavelengths than we see. They're massive. They're so goddamn cool.
Brian, like I told you, unless you can get the technology that Sandy Cheeks has, there's no point in having them.
Mantis shrimp don't need an air bubble on their head. They can breathe underwater. I don't understand where you're going with that.
I mean, having them above land and using them as like a militant army in like South America and creating your own empire.
I'm not focused on world domination with my pet mantis shrimp. I just want it because it's cool.
I'm pretty sure, bro, you mentioned the... you knew where you were going with it.
I wasn't
going there.
You're
trying to rule a small country.
I just want to watch a shrimp punch a crab really hard.
Watch your fingers.
I know.
All right, well, let's get into footy since you aren't trying to start a militia of militant shrimp. So
I don't even know why you went there.
I like it. Like it's because honestly, I wanted to make another Penguins of Madagascar reference, but I already made one, and then I didn't want to go into the lemurs because, like, I wouldn't actually want them as pets because they're.
By
so
the way,
annoying.
The animal I was looking for last week for you was meerkat, not lemur. I just need to.
So Chelsea got smacked.
Chelsea got absolutely obliterated, like absolutely obliterated. I keep coming back to what Chad said a couple weeks ago, like about Enzo being figured out, like the same thing kind of happened to Leicester last season. They had a crazy lead. They were playing really well. I mean, Chelsea didn't have the crazy lead, but they were playing really well. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the form just completely dropped off because it seemed like the rest of the league figured out the team style. And it kind of seems like this Chelsea side is right.
Chad
back.
Was right.
Like they're just in that same situation. Like, teams are not having a hard time playing against them, and it just seems like they've been figured out completely.
No, that's the thing. Their midfield isn't possessing the ball at all. Like, Caicedo and Fernandes had, like, very bright points throughout the season. Currently, they're probably at the all-time low that we play. No one on this Chelsea team can really do anything threatening with a ball. They can possess it, don't get me wrong. Like,
well, yeah, I mean...
Like
70% possession?
Yeah, that's the issue. 70% with zero shots on target.
Yeah, they 70% made, possession. 0.54 expected goals versus 1.42 on 30% possession.
They I do want to know
big
one
chance
thing,
compared
though.
To five. Their efficiency is so down.
I know we're shitting on them, but I do want to talk about one bright point. And also, I think this is also like... I don't think this is Brighton falling out and being or like Brighton being like shining or anything. I think this is like Chelsea being awful. They did start a decent keeper. I was happy to see that. They actually didn't start Robert Sanchez and
he didn't start the last match either.
I know. I'm just happy that they're moving on. They realize how bad he truly was.
Yeah.
The rest of the side, though, yeah, there's no threats.
He just wasn't fit to be a big six keeper. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's just, he just wasn't fit to be a big six keeper. And I'm sorry if the last time I said it, it was quiet, but like,
yeah,
just straight up.
Also, we can't knock Chelsea more so just because their attack is hurt, but
that's
they
fair.
they should be making some sort of an attempt at goal against the spread inside.
They should still be more efficient. They should still, yeah. I mean, maybe not efficient in the putting the ball in the back of the net, but at least, efficient in their creation. I mean, yeah. One big chance on 70% possession is just abysmal. It just means you
one big chance without even a shot on target.
It just means you're like, passing the ball for shits. Like, well, come on.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's awful.
Like, that's the thing. You have 9 corners in a game and you can't get a goddamn shot on target.
It was awful. It was an awful performance from Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah. I don't think we gotta harp on it anymore.
I would love to, but we don't need to.
Yeah, it's just one of those where, guess what? They were abysmal.
We don't really have Chad here to go into detail on Leicester getting clapped, but
I was going to say another team that played abysmal was Leicester, but that's also just because like Arsenal are still in the title race, not for first place, but a place. So
I mean, they could be, given Liverpool's recent results. We'll get into that later. But the one thing I want to point out about this match, and it was just kind of funny, Mikel Merino, who scored like a late brace to win the match. And I mean, Leicester actually did kind of hang in there until late. The goals didn't come until 81 and 87. But yeah. Merino said, "I didn't get my wife anything for Valentine's Day, so this brace is for her." And like, bro, I get it. Like, nice try, but get your wife something nice, like, for real. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, that's just a fuck up. You don't say that on camera either. You don't win in any situation, bro. I'm sorry to break it to you. Yeah, you won the game, but guess what? You're about to get an ass whooping when you get home. So have fun with that.
I mean, you never know, but I do tend to agree with you. I mean, it's just
I know enough from experience. He got a little too cocky with it. She is going to remember the first part of what he said more than the second part, saying that
I would assume that he got
her.
I would assume that he did get her something. Like, I'm sure he said it as a joke and ended up getting her something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like, also, all I'm saying is, she would be like, why would you even joke about that? Like, that's not even funny.
Or she's got a dope sense of humor.
Hey, I don't know.
You never know.
I don't know. I think he's going to get chewed out a little bit.
Probably.
Villa versus Ipswich. Congrats, Ipswich. I wish you were playing at that same way that you were last year. That was really fun.
So I made a video on TikTok earlier in the season when Villa was like top four, calling Unai Emery like best manager in the world because of where they were in the Champions League and where they were in the Premier League. And ever since then, they have been absolute ass in the Prem.
Yep.
Like, I feel like I jinxed it. Like, I'm sorry.
They just have been very underwhelming. The fact that we're talking about them drawing Ipswich in the first place when last year they actually put up a very convincing, but it was top four finish. Yeah, they're Champions League. So yeah, they balled. Like, they genuinely deserved it last year too.
I would also like to point out that Axel Tuanzebe got sent off in the 40th minute and then Ipswich took the lead before Ollie Watkins equalized.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just not a good showing for Villa. And I don't think this current Premier League form bodes well going into the next round of the Champions League, which we'll get into in a moment.
It's a different competition. We could see it being completely different for them, but I tend to agree with you. I just don't know what to see from this current Villa side. Like, yeah, you got Rashford. Guess what? He's having the same issues that he had at Man U. So,
I mean, he's not having the same issues he had at Man U because at least he's on the pitch.
You mean when he's actually playing, though?
I know. I was making a joke.
He's ass.
I want to kind of just gloss over the next one with a simple sentence where I don't really think this is Forest being poor. I think this is Fulham being good.
Yeah.
I think that's all we really got to say there. And to jump into the next match, I'm genuinely scared. Omar Mamouche, and this might be just an overreaction to the fact that he scored, what was it, like a 14-minute hat trick?
Yeah.
But he's fantastic.
I feel like this always happens with City, where like
he's a Pep style winger.
Yeah.
And he's going to be fantastic for that side.
I think he could potentially be better than Foden. I think he currently is playing better than Foden.
Yeah.
But like, it just becomes a situation where like he's a little pacier.
I don't know if he's better than Foden in raw talent in terms of like,
I don't think so. I think he's older too. I think he is more of a developed player than Foden, but it's just more of a situation where
he's not much older. He's 26.
Yeah, but that makes a difference. Foden's and he's 24. Been around the block.
Yeah, I got you. I mean, City are too far out to make a title push.
Yeah, obviously.
I truly think so, but they could, like, it could be scary seeing them, like, bring in some good form for next season. Although,
yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll have another comment on their form when we get into the Champions League because, like, oof.
And also, we'll see what happens next year. If they're still up, I hate them, so fuck you, City. Please get the hell out of the Prem and please get relegated from existence. Moving on, West Ham continues to blow ass.
Real quick.
Same with Southampton.
Yeah. Southampton and West Ham are
Palace
ass.
Lost to Everton, and you know what that means.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that means that Man U lost because Palace always beat Man U. So, yeah.
No, I was going to say Everton are on that like mid-season win a few games so they don't get relegated run.
Yeah.
Also,
when their chance creation literally becomes the best in the bad, they just ball out entirely and could be in competition for first in the Prem if they converted their chances.
Do you want to hear something very, very, very funny?
No.
About Leicester City?
Okay, sure.
And Tottenham Hotspur?
No, because we just lost to Spurs, but yeah, sure.
So Leicester have one win in their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches.
To Spurs, yep.
In their last 10 matches in the Prem, because they did win an FA Cup match.
Okay.
And that one win is over Spurs.
Yep.
Which is just hysterical.
Yeah.
It's just more of a Spurs roast. I do think it's big for Spurs that Vicario is back.
Yeah, I don't care. Literally, this match was just fucking mid.
I mean, yeah, you guys suck. And
bro, but like, this was literally just the battle of the mid. Like, yeah. I wouldn't even say, like, Spurs put on our performance.
Not really. I mean, you guys suck. They sucked last.
Yeah, literally. That I don't want to harp on this game too much just because both sides were existent.
Yeah.
To put it best. But yeah, no. Liverpool ended up playing all right versus Wolves, ended up pulling out a win. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a spectacular performance, but guess what? When they won the title a couple years back, it wasn't about anything in terms of, oh yeah, first halves. It was wait until that second half comes.
So I'm gonna get into that a little bit with today's match. And
yeah, I mean, I was about to say
it'll be yesterday's match by the time this is posted against Villa.
But 2-1 to Wolves, then 2-2 to Villa.
Yeah, and it just was not
convincing. It wasn't like,
I mean, they just weren't efficient enough. They should have capitalized on more chances. They were not strong enough on defense. Villa drastically outperformed their expected goals. Like, it just was not a championship showing.
No, I think primarily happened in this match as well is they weren't expecting Villa to score two in the manner that they did. They weren't expecting it to be that close in time and that to be heading into half. It's really hard to sort of come back from a situation like that. Mm-hmm. And you have to play a full sort of counterattacking, like all out attack, really high press situation in the second half. The issue with Liverpool is that they used to be very young and used to be able to do that, no problems at all. Now they have some issues doing it. It's not that youth isn't the issue with that. It's just pace in terms of everything. They can't push the ball the same way that they could have with Sadio Mane. Like, it's sorry, Sadio Mane was the best in the world at pushing the ball up the field.
He
was
so, just the pace, the control, all that stuff when he was in his prime. Yeah, I got you.
It was like him and Gareth Bale in terms of like pacey wingers that you wanted to push the ball up the wing. Like, sorry, they're literally getting it to the opponent's goal. Like, by either shoving someone off of them, Sadio Mane and Gareth Bale both, and or just like breaking someone's ankles at the fastest pace we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, it was absolutely absurd.
Yeah. But I'm not really worried about Liverpool, though.
Yeah, I wanted to get back into this, and that's like, what I wanted to mention.
When you look at everything, I mean, so they have an 8-point lead. Arsenal have that. Everybody else has that game in hand. It could become a 5-point lead, and we have City next. So, like, things could get dicey. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think a win against City in the next match is huge.
But I still think, I'm going to be honest, like, I don't think you're throwing it away to Arsenal.
I don't either.
That, like, here's the situation. If you guys end up losing to City for some reason, I don't know. Let me check when the time of the matches are. So, you're playing City. Okay, Arsenal play West Ham the day before, so I can't make this joke. But I was going to say, Arsenal will smell a chance. They'll be like, damn, I may be able to. And they'll lose 4-0 to fucking West Ham.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, honestly, I think even if you lose to City, Arsenal against Forest being home, you versus Newcastle, you being at Anfield.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to take Forest over Arsenal, and then I'm going to take Liverpool over Newcastle. Arsenal are just the biggest choke artists. And also, here's the situation. I genuinely think they could lose to fucking West Ham. Who do they have at attack right now?
Yeah, that's fair. You never know.
Bro, they have fucking Sterling.
I got you.
It's 2025.
I know.
And Arsenal are like, don't get me wrong, injuries exist. Like, shit happens in the world.
They're like, riddled.
Like, I feel bad for the side entirely, but here's the sitch. You're starting Raheem Sterling in 2025. Yeah. You deserve to be made fun of.
Yep. Yep.
Shit, Man U starting Harry Maguire. And also, like,
he's playing well.
Yeah, I know, which is hilarious. You know who else is playing, like, really well? Really well? Who's playing really, really well?
I mean, on Man U?
Legend.
Yanni Evans?
No.
I mean, he was at one point.
No, a Man U legend.
Who?
A world legend.
Just tell me!
Someone who recently departed the club, but is a legend of the sport.
Oh, Anthony's balling.
Yeah, Anthony's balling, bro. It's fucking hilarious.
I thought you were literally being serious. I thought you were being serious for a second.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Anthony's balling.
I actually, like, his first match was hilarious. Like, that I actually want to make fun of. Since then, he's actually been playing really well.
No, yeah, he's been great.
His first match was fucking hilarious. He literally shot it against the keeper and got an assist on a goal.
Yep.
Because, like, the keeper didn't hold on to the ball and just deflected it back to, like, the other winger.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Moving on from the god, the goat, Anthony. I think we jump straight into Champions League now.
Dude, it is a bad fucking week to be a Serie A fan. One second.
I wanted to finish up with just the Prem. I'm really interested just to see the way that Lip finishing this season, because they still only have one loss on the season. Like, it's not like, like, the draws are really going to start racking anything up. Like,
I know.
Arsenal are more likely to lose a third match than Liverpool are going to lose one. So, I don't even think they're going to lose to Man City. Worst thing is worse.
I don't either.
They draw.
It's a draw. So, I'm going to repeat what I just said.
And it was hate Liverpool.
Can you just let me get into the Champions League?
Like, I fucking hate Liverpool.
That was unnecessary. But it is a bad week to be a Serie A fan, because god damn, that league got ruined in the Champions League this week. Feyenoord ended up beating Milan. Like,
that shit was nuts.
I mean, Theo Hernandez's red card.
Hey, like, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. It's just like, that's bad. You know? Yeah. Like, getting tossed in the 51st minute of an important match like that.
That's what I mean. Like, at least he's not getting the same sort of blame that the dude who threw it out, Jude, is getting. But,
oh, yeah, dude, that's wild.
Like, bro.
And, like, I'm
wishes for him.
So, like, I'm not gonna, I'm gonna lie. I'm going to get into that real quick before we continue with the Champions League.
Yeah.
I don't really see what the difference between saying fuck you and fuck off to a referee is. Like, I genuinely just think Jude messed up. Like, I understand that it's a phrase that gets said in England all the time, but
Saying it to a referee, it's still not like a situation, like,
that doesn't
where,
mean,
like,
it's okay.
He's your friend. Like, and, like, yeah, even if you aren't saying it to a friend, if you're willing to say that to, like, whoever, like, guess what? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You have to approach the situation with manners rather than, like, oh yeah, nah, fuck this, fuck that. Like, that's not going to get you anywhere. And yeah, so, like, we saw the result. I don't think that dude deserves any of the blame that he's getting. All the Real fans, all the Jude fans, all the England fans
are just coming
fans,
after him.
Whoever is coming after that referee is absolutely ridiculous and cannot understand that, like, guess what? Verbally accosting someone, no matter if it's meaningful or not, like, guess what? It still fucking matters. Like,
yeah,
if you say fuck off to someone and they're offended by it, especially in a situation where, like, guess what? That's in, like, the heat of a match and they are allowed to make a decision
and
about
I'm not
it continues.
I'm not buying the excuse of, like, oh, I was talking to myself, I was mad at myself. It was right after, like, a foul call and he looked at the ref, like, when it was said. So I will say, like, in a game, if you play a through ball and it's offsides and you say fuck off, like, around the ref, like, and it's very clear that you're, like, saying it to yourself and you're upset with yourself, like, they're grown men, they should be able to swear on the pitch. But yes, but saying it to a referee is a red card offense. And yes, if you want a better insight on that, like, just look up, find it on Refs Need Loves 2 account. He made a good video on it.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I don't think this is a situation like in the NBA when the NBA ref is literally just blasphemously like making the wrong call because they heard a curse word in general. Like Jude
said fuck off at a ref.
Like, sorry. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like Jude messed up.
Exactly. Exactly. Atalanta also messed up because they got clobbered by Bruges. Like absolutely clobbered.
I was not expecting them to be dog walked by Bruges, but yeah. Absolutely.
I will also say, I am not a fan of Gasperini's comments after the match about Lookman. Adamola Lookman missed a penalty, and Gasperini said Lookman is one of the worst penalty takers he's ever seen. And Lookman didn't really like that, and Gasperini said that
disagree with it.
Both of our... Well, Lookman has a terrible penalty record, don't get me wrong. But, still... Gasperini was like, he took the shots away from our designated PK takers. And Lookman was like, they asked me to take the penalty, so I did what was best for the team.
Yep. Enough said.
It's a bad look for a manager to say to one of their players, like, in a press conference, he's one of the worst PK takers you've ever seen. Especially to the guy that scored a hat trick in the Europa League final for you last year.
Nah, he's just here in the moment. And honestly, he's just realizing he's not having the same success as last year.
He's balling this season.
No, not Lookman. Like
Gasperini?
Just, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like Atalanta's not seeing the same success. Lookman is balling, but that's what happens.
I mean, Atalanta's third in Serie A. They're 5 points off the lead. They're doing pretty well.
They're doing pretty well, but...
I mean, they did just get kicked out of the Champions League, but... I'm not going to lie. Bruges is more of a perennial Champions League club than Atalanta, just because of what league they come from. So it's not actually that surprising. I mean, look, it's surprising. Especially because of the nature that it was. It was a 5-2 aggregate.
Shut up. Like, what are you talking about? Bruges is more, like, qualified to be in this than Atalanta. So, like, no,
Atalanta's a better team. But Bruges is in the Champions League almost every season because they come out of the Belgian League. And Atalanta isn't, so they're used to the Champions League pressure. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I understand that. I think Atalanta has been a better side as of
Atalanta's been a better side, but in the last couple years, and I mean very recent couple years, because like Atalanta had that run with Ilicic too.
Yeah, with Ilicic and Mario Gomez. Not Mario Gomez.
But
who the fuck is that, dude?
Doesn't matter. But like Gomez. Recent Bruges, they've been in the Champions League, so it's not necessarily a pedigree thing, it's just a used to it thing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Very similar to like Shakhtar or some side like
exactly
that, like who
exactly
experiences
like,
the competition more
like
often,
those clubs like, are very dangerous in the Champions League because they're used to the Champions League pressure even though they're not your usual.
Benfica bald, congrats. They drew with Monaco. It was a great match overall, 3-3.
Benfica went through. Dude, that second half was wild.
Yeah. That entire match was wild.
It was great. I mean, Yeah.
Quality footy. I was happy with it.
I love how you glossed over the close match, the draw of Bayern and Celtic. Alphonso Davies.
I was about to say, I'm looking at this on Google, so I was about to mention it.
Alphonso Davies. To mention,
we have a Canadian savior.
94th minute winner. And look, don't get me wrong. Bayern were going to win this match in extra time. They were.
Yes.
But
that sends Bayern into the next round with so much momentum because of that situation. Yeah. Like, I genuinely think it leads more to their narrative than what would have happened if they went into extra time against Celtic.
Yeah, like We'll get through the next set of games, and then we'll talk about the bracket a little bit and who could play who, because the draw is coming up. But just that late winner, just it does give you more momentum than like scoring like an 109th minute goal in extra time.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you're like drawn out. You always, like, especially for a Bayern side, you expect yourselves to win within regular against a Celtic side. Like, if it's like Real or City, it becomes completely different. But yeah.
Yeah. Dortmund just kind of
sat there and figured out exactly what to do.
I mean, they had 2 expected goals. I mean, 1.99, but I'm rounding up. They had 55% possession. They dominated the shots. I mean, they went in, they knew they were through, and they just never looked worried, and that's really all we have to say about that.
And also the way that Sporting's looked since the loss of Ruben, it's been awful.
I will also say PSG went into their matchup also with a 3-0 lead on aggregate, and they had a completely different mentality.
They dropped an atomic bomb.
I mean, 7 goals is one thing, but 7 different goal scorers is diabolical.
Bro, they dropped a nuke in Paris. It was absolutely nuts. Their performance against Brest, the favorite of the fans for this tournament.
I think Jamie Carragher was very happy because Brest did get exposed.
Yeah, we did get to see what Brest looks like
when they got exposed, and it was not pretty.
Dude,
they got clapped 7-0. You're taking it too far. They got clapped 7-0. Like, that is just absolutely wild. And then did I mention earlier that it was a really bad week for Syria?
Wow. Your way to repeat yourself for the 14th time, you bot. The Dutch, guess what? They actually know what they're doing.
PSV called this one, by the way.
Oh yeah. No, because that's just what it is. Juve has been so disappointing this entire season. And then, like, the best that they were going to come out with was a draw.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Going into extra time or anything, they shit themselves. Yep. Against PSV right now, they wouldn't know what to do.
Yep.
Just like Man City had no clue what the fuck to do against Real Madrid.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
When Chad texted us today and was like, MPayPal, I was like really confused for a second. So I said, what? And he was like, I don't know how to spell it, but that's what the kids are calling him today with a brace. And then he scored a hat trick. He was talking about Mbappe, just making a joke.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's scary that he's looking like he's starting to fit in with Real Madrid.
Bro, and he just scored a fucking hat trick in the Champions League against Man City and made it look easy.
And like,
how fast was it? Yeah, 61 minutes.
Yeah. Technically, like, 57 minutes, because it starts when you score your first goal and ends when you score your third. Like when I said Mamouche scored a 14 minute hat trick before.
Yeah, I will end this call right now.
He scored in the 19th
minute.
I know what you mean. And then he finished it in the 33rd. So like 14 minute hat trick.
What I'm saying, it took him 61 minutes.
Of game time,
to score 3 goals. Like, it is absolutely absurd what Mbappe did in this match. I don't know what else to say. Real literally grabbed City by the balls, and we're like, oh yeah, like, dude, you want to play? We're going to show you how to. Like, entertaining to watch. Like,
this is Europe, bitch.
Man City got a consolation goal in the 92nd minute, and they shouldn't have scored anything the entire match. Literally, that was Ancelotti just being like, you know what? Here's like a gimme. They got decimated.
Yep.
They got decimated. They did not look threatening at all. They had 4 shots on target the entire game. Yeah, they had 52% possession. But all of their passes were backwards passes. Like, it was just literally similar to the way that like people were complaining about Declan Rice last year. Like, you know how he was just back passing crazy. Mm-hmm. It was the exact situation with City this entire match. They were just getting shit on. And then City or Real were like, hey, you know what? They aren't doing anything. If we press hard enough, we get the ball instantly. So guess what? They were just waiting for them to make mistakes, press them a little harder, steal it, and then guess what? Look for Mbappe. Guess what happens? Mbappe fucking decimated this game.
Yep.
Like, this was embarrassing by City.
No, I just, enough they, said. They just haven't looked good.
No. And you just said you were by them.
I said I'm scared that they're going to get their shit together and be scary next year.
I was going to say, all I'm saying is that you got the fucking Ballon d'Or, like, contender, and you're mentioning being scared of City.
I commented on a Men in Blazers post about Mo Salah, and I was like, future Ballon d'Or winner, Mo Salah, because unless he gets hurt this year, it's his. And somebody put laughing emojis. No, it's not. And I literally commented back. I was like, who else? I mean, Rafinha, but no.
Rafinha is the only other player I would acknowledge right now.
Mo Salah has 39 goal contributions in the Premier League in 26 games.
Yeah, Mo Salah wins out life right now.
So the Champions League draw is, I just looked it up, it's the 21st, which is tomorrow. And we got some pretty cool options. Your hair looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I've been thinking that.
So I'm going to start off with Liverpool and Barcelona's options. So Liverpool and Barcelona are in the group where Liverpool could either play PSG and Benfica, and the same goes for Barcelona. I think I'd obviously rather play Benfica.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, I know we said recently that, like, we think Liverpool match up pretty well for PSG, but after seeing that performance against Brest, I do not want any part of that.
No one wants to play PSG right now.
So I would prefer Benfica. I would love to see Villa and Dortmund.
That would be a good match.
I mean, Villa can get Bruges or Dortmund.
I think Villa decimate Bruges. I think Villa lose to Dortmund.
I agree with that. The next pool of teams is by far my favorite. Bayern can get Leverkusen or Atletico, and Real Madrid is the other option. So we're either getting Bayern Leverkusen and a Madrid derby, or Bayern Atletico and Leverkusen Real Madrid.
Please, Bayern Leverkusen Real Atletico, and then fucking...
I'm the other way.
Oh, you want to see Bayern Atletico?
I want to see Xabi Alonso manage against Real Madrid.
Okay.
Because obviously the other options, like, they get split on the other side of the bracket.
I don't like that much.
I think it'll be interesting.
Unless Xabi Alonso wins.
They'll be evaluating him because...
Yeah, I know. But I would want Xabi Alonso to win. If he doesn't win, I wouldn't want that to happen.
It's intriguing to me. It's the more intriguing storyline as opposed to getting like Bayern and Leverkusen and a Madrid derby. Like, it's cool, but like, show me the probable future Real Madrid manager prepping to take down the future team that he might manage.
I'll hear that.
Because if he can take them down, he sure as hell can manage them. And then the last one is Feyenoord or PSV versus Arsenal or Inter. I think Arsenal and Inter could both fall.
Yeah.
Those are going to be excellent matches.
We'll see the way that the Italians carry through, because Serie A really fell off.
Yeah.
And then Arsenal, I think, yeah, Arsenal shit themselves.
Yeah, I mean, especially given their injuries.
Arsenal's not winning.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not winning a Champions League this year, unfortunately for them.
They aren't winning a prem. They aren't winning shit. So it's another year for Arsenal. You know who else won as many trophies as Arsenal's gonna win this year? Spurs. So
That's fair. That's fair.
yeah.
You got any like regular sports news or you want to get out of here?
Trying to think. Is there?
Oh wait, I got one thing.
Luka, wait, we
No,
could talk
no,
about
no,
that for
no,
a
no, no,
second.
no, 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 no. Screw basketball.
Hooper
Basketball's
flag.
boring. Nah, screw basketball. Basketball's boring. So tomorrow we got
Fuck you.
No. Tomorrow we got USA Canada, and it's today, I guess, in the day that this posting. We got the
Bro, that
final of the
shit happened already. That was
No.
3-1 USA.
Nope. It's the final of the Four Nations tournament, which is Thursday night, which is
Yeah, I
USA
noticed the round
Canada
robin with it.
again. And I'm excited. I think that's going to be another electric game, and that's what I'm most looking forward to right now.
I want to see a brawl within the first 35 seconds of that game.
I mean, there were three within the first nine last game, so it's probably going to happen
That's
again.
what I mean.
Also, the NHL absolutely nailed All-Star Weekend, and they took all of the spotlight away from the NBA because the NBA's All-Star Weekend sucked. And the NHL basically was like, we're going to scrap the All-Star game and just
Scratch.
do an international tournament. And it was an absolute win.
Bro, the NBA All-Star game sucks so much recently.
Dude, it's terrible. 3 hour event,
Bro.
42 minutes of basketball. Nobody tries. The skills competition was a joke. They bring out little Mac McClung as a savior for the dunk contest every year. I personally think to compete in like the skills challenges and the dunk contest and the 3-point stuff, you should have to be an active NBA player.
Oh yeah. And also like I think Wemby was funny as fuck. Like
Yeah, I
I
don't
think
think
that
they should
was
have been
probably the
disqualified
highlight
for that.
of
Like, that
it.
was funny as shit.
Yeah.
Like, they took advantage of the rules. It doesn't say you actually have to shoot. It just says you either have to make the basket or finish the rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like guess if you really wanted to, could just make the first one for
I
all
mean,
three.
yeah, but it was quicker to not.
Well, yeah, because he's just throwing it like
Yeah.
underneath his arm.
Yeah.
But
We are gonna make our way out of here for this week. Hopefully we have a chattiest back. I'm sorry I just completely cut Carl off there, but I'm getting a little
fuck you,
dispassionate.
Brian.
So we will catch you guys next week on another episode of the High Kicks podcast. Adios. Peace.
These guys have a wonderful time. Bye. Ah, that's Paul.
It's hi, I'm Paul.
Ah, I'm Paul.